Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer of Matt Tremont, and if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D, holler.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker. Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by...
I don't even know what's happening there. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, Jake Cat Morris. It's fucking, what, Tuesday? All right. So tonight, welcoming back to the show, one of my favorites out there right now, Schlack. What's going on, bro?
Yo, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Same old shit. It's been actually almost 2 years since I had you on the show, which seems crazy, but what's going on?
Yeah, it's... went by fucking fast, really. Tell you.
Yeah.
Shit, man, just healing up from Saturday. You know, shitload of cuts and fucking hands look like they've been to a meat grinder from, you know, like crushing all the glass and shit from crawling around on the apron or on the canvas.
Yeah.
I got like black and blue, like stab marks on the side of my like where my kidneys are. I guess Nick was trying to fucking. Stabbed me with something at the end there, and it must have broke where it was like a blunt object. So I got like some kind of broken, like black and blue puncture wounds. Got to try harder than that next time, man. I go to the gym like fucking 5-6 days a week, and muscle is a lot harder to pierce than fucking fat is.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I got a bunch of shit to go over with you because it's been so long. Go back to Michael Kruger at IWA Mid-South. What was it like wrestling him? I mean, you beat the shit out of him. What was it like going there wrestling him and working for Ian for the first time?
I like Ian, man. A lot of people shit on Ian, you know?
Yeah.
He never did me wrong, you know what I mean? And I can't shit on someone that never did me wrong. But
sure.
The first minute I walked in there, I know everyone has like an Ian story. The first minute I walked in there, Ian was trying to stab the guy that was working the concession stand because he was trying to steal, like, he was stealing sodas at the last show, and he was trying to stab him with scissors. That was, like, the first 5 minutes of being introduced to the guy. So You know, Ian's Ian, man. And
yeah.
As far as working Kruger, man, I tell you what, man. I went into that match going, you know, IWA is one of the companies that I've been, you know, had an eye on for years. I used to watch, you know, IWA shit, you know, since I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But so I went in there going like, yo, I got to prove a point. And I, you know, threw everything I had at the fucking kid Kruger, and he ate it right the fuck up. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
See, he's doing pretty good now. He just won that Blood Brothers Crimson Cup last year. Good on him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like those type of matches. You know, the stuff where, as a fan, you look at it and go, I don't know if these guys have heat or what, because he's beating the fucking shit out of him right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I made their heat. You know, I made the heat.
Yeah.
Like I said, I went in there having to prove a point. I was like, you know, man, I'm sorry, but this has to fucking happen.
Right.
I'm not going to go in there and not make a fucking name of myself, you know, for myself kicking in the fucking door.
Yeah. You wrestled Dan Moff at NYC. What was that like? Because, you know, non-deathmatch kind of thing. Obviously, Dan Moff's been established for a while.
I'll tell you what, man. Moff's got one of the hardest fucking chops anybody I've been in the fucking ring with. I was getting Waltered. You know what? He was, like, fucking beating PCO down that last,
yeah.
You know, or, yeah, it was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he was Waltering my ass. He was hitting me with like 20 fucking chops in a row. I had to like shoot headbutt him to get him to fucking stop. But that match was a war, man. He's a big, strong dude, and you know I'm pretty strong. And we were throwing each other around, and I was sore as fuck after that match. I want to work him again though, dude. That's
yeah.
Another guy on my list, and we need to step it up. We need to throw some barbed wire in there and get nice and fucking silly. I seen he did that a couple times last year.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that, too, because obviously you're known for the deathmatch style. You're a killer out there. But what's your thoughts on the strong style and that type of thing, a non-deathmatch style?
I mean, I love that shit, too. You know, I like all different kinds of wrestling. But I would like to do more matches like that, you know.
Yeah.
But most people, when they hire me, you know, they want to see gore and they want to see, you know, people getting fucked up real bad and... I just happen to be really good at that. I'm a big fan of strong style. So like, especially if you incorporate that kind of shit with the death matches, it makes for really, you know, interesting shit rather than just sitting there hacking slashing. But not, you know, it's not that hack and slash doesn't have its place, but I think that's what GCW is capitalizing on. You got a bunch of people that are hybrid wrestling, you know. And that's why it's making a name for itself. It's not just blood and guts. It's actually people in there knowing what the fuck they're doing.
Now, this show had a pretty good balance. You know, there was 4 death matches, I think. But, I mean, it still gets to be a little bit much at times. Now, I don't mind the death matches or the amount of them. The biggest thing I have a problem with is you lose some of it. You know, it's like... If you're the first death match on, and then the next 3 are gonna kill it too, like no one's gonna remember that shit. Like, what's your thoughts on such death match packed shows that aren't tournaments?
I mean, you are right. You know, I remember back when CCW was eating a lot of shit because they were getting you know, lighter, whatever you want to say. People were saying they were taking a lot of death matches off of the shows, but you know, I'm sure you remember early CCW. It wasn't 8 fucking death matches.
No.
You know, and because that was the right formula.
Right.
I agree. I think I like the way it's going now. I think 4 death matches. I don't think it's ever going to steer away from that because Brett's a big death match fan.
Sure.
So I doubt, you know, it's not going to be death match heavy. But you're right. I think, but you know, if you're match 2 and you're fucking doing the same shit as match 8. You know, them guys in the 8th slot are going to have to work a lot fucking harder, and that crowd's going to be dead and numb because they've seen everything already.
Yeah.
You know, that match with me and Nikki, we kind of got neutered because of that. We were supposed to have, like, prison bars or, like, light tubes, like a light tube prison around the perimeter ring, but Kasai called for that shit. So we got, you know, some weapons and shit taken away, which is fine because it's just going to make the next fucking rematch even fucking crazier.
Right.
But, that's the right move. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. If there is going to be four death matches, I think everyone needs to be aware of what the guys after them are using.
Right.
And it needs to progressively step up in fucking insanity rather than that first death match be panes of glass, fucking ladders, tables on fire, and barbed wire. You know what I mean? That's the final.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I even think about it sometimes, too. Like, Eric Ryan caught a big fucking gash on his arm. That was the first of four death matches. So I don't know how many people in the history of this show are really going to reflect back and be like, yeah, that Eric Ryan spot. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Kind of takes away from the guy's shine a little bit.
Yeah, and he's got to own that shit.
I mean,
that scar doesn't go away.
Yeah, yeah, really. That was a serious fucking gash, too. Did you see that thing, dude?
Yeah, yeah, I saw
like
a picture.
The fatty deposit coming out of it. He was in the back like, should I go to the hospital? I'm like, ooh, that's a tough call, brother.
That's tough shit. So, you went to the
fucking soda cans, man.
Is that what that was, the soda can?
Yeah, he had the soda cans were facing the opposite way on that pane of glass laying on top of him. Man,
yeah.
Same thing happened to fucking Marcus. I German suplexed Marcus into a board of cans, and it ripped his fucking elbow right open. Them soda cans are fucking bad news.
Yeah, that's crazy shit. So you went to the UEW Sovereign of Slaughter match, the tournament. You wrestled Neil Diamond Cutter first round and then Corp. What was your thoughts on going there over there to Cali and then wrestling Corp?
The weather's too nice in California. I like it to be a little shittier, man. You know, I'm from Jersey.
Yeah.
It's too nice. It weirds me out. Especially like in wintertime. But yeah, they're great people, man. Sage and Kyle, her boyfriend that run that company, are fucking great. I don't mind going out there. And as far as Corp was great, man. We had a fucking bar fight in the ring, and you know, I knew he swings for the fences and he hits hard, so I had to test my fucking jaw against that dude, and we fucking laid him in. It was great. I'd wrestle him again.
Yeah.
I think he's retiring now, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard too much of him ever since the whole prison thing, and then he like told on somebody, beat the people out of the tournament money. You haven't seen too much of him on the scene anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder why.
Yeah. So since I last talked to you, you went to Mexico twice. Talk a little bit about, you know, your experience going to Mexico, the DTU title.
Mexico. I'm a big fan down there. You know, minus the fucking heat, you know, and they don't believe in air conditions. And, you know, I'm a spoiled American. And I love my air condition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's great down there. They really appreciate wrestling. Unlike a lot of people up here, they don't appreciate it as much. But,
right.
You know, they don't have a lot of people down there. They don't have cable TV and shit like that. So, you know, what are you doing tonight? Let's go to the wrestling event for $5. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the fucking crowds are always packed. And people are handing me their infant children. I'm taking pictures like covered in blood after matches with their fucking infant children. I mean, I find it hilarious. Here up in the States, you know, people try and get their children as far away from me as possible, but next time they want to give them to me. But it's great, man. The competition down there is great. And the only thing that really fucking annoys me is Mexico, and especially Mexico City, is like it's one gigantic mountain, pretty much. And the altitude gets progressively higher the further in you go to Mexico City. So some of those shows, the altitude is like 7,000 fucking feet in the air. You know, and talk about getting gassed the fuck out and blowing up quick, dude. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I never thought of Mexico as being like a high altitude place, but yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, in the center there, it's like one big like mountain kind of the entire country. If you look at the geographical structure.
Yeah.
But yeah, not only do those like lucha, but most guys are lucha based down there. So they're like running spot, 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 and they're all over the place. They're running. So not only are they like running around a lot more than the workers do up here up north, they're also used to high altitude. You know, so
yeah.
I'm like fucking checking these dudes like, yo, you need to slow the fuck down, dude.
Yeah.
You know,
they're
I'm,
used to that shit,
I'm like
too.
200, right, right. I'm like 240, 250 pounds. You know, this dude is 190 pounds. Dude, like, I can't, you know, keep that fucking pace up.
Yeah. So in H2O, they did an angle where you ended up one-on-one against Maria, and she went over, which was like a, to me, it was like a big shock. It was like, holy shit, like, she beat you with an F5 and all that stuff. What was your thoughts on going into that, you know, wrestling that match with Maria? And then overall, what's your thoughts on intergender wrestling? Because that's been like a big, you know, uprising since the, mostly since the Dickinson-Kimberly thing.
Well, credit where credit's due. You know, you put a girl in there, I'm going to slap the girl the fuck around. You know, I don't care if it's a dude. I don't care who you put in that fucking ring. You can put a cow in there or a deer. You know, if you're going to pit me against something, I'm going to try my hardest.
Sure.
And Maria took everything I threw at her. You know, she never been in a death match before. She never even
right.
bled, you know. I put the screws to her, you know, threw her around, and she capitalized on my fucking mistake and my arrogance at the end of the match. As far as intergender wrestling, you know, most of it, I think, is a pile of shit, you know, because it's completely not believable, you know.
Right.
I'm not saying it shouldn't happen, you know, because there's creative ways of fucking doing it. And there's some women that are believable in that, you know, like Jordan Grace, you know, Maria is another one of them. You know, there's girls that are viable that can actually look like they can beat some fucking guys.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not. You know, I was having this conversation with someone the other day. They'll put a girl in, like, a six-man scramble or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they always, the girl always looks like the fucking powerhouse and goes over or whatever. You know,
yeah.
It's like a bunch of shit. You know, if the girl, you know, if you want to be realistic about it and you put the girl in there, the girl goes in and gets fucking slapped the fuck around by all five guys immediately. And then maybe at the end, you know, squeaks out a victory on a fucking submission or something. You know what I mean? That's reasonable. But people aren't creating these matches like that. So, you know, it's a month of shit to me. But, you know, like I said, I'm not going to say no to it. But
right.
a lot of it's not believable. And I'm all about believability.
Sure. So, you know, that set up, you know, a whole series of, you know, matches with Maria where you ended up tagging with her for quite some time. And, you know, that obviously opens the door to a lot more intergender stuff and, you know, tag combinations and stuff like that. What was your thoughts on, you know, your run tagging with Maria?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
We actually made a good team.
Right.
We had an awesome fucking match at Unsanctioned Pro. It was us versus the Rejects versus the Ugly Ducklings. And, she's like wrestling with a guy, man. She's big. She's a fucking powerhouse.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you say intergender with her, it really doesn't fit to the fucking normal, you know. Like, if it was a teeny girl that weighs 140 pounds, that's more what I'm thinking of intergender, but
sure.
You're putting a girl in there that's, you know, I'm wrestling in there with a girl, Maria, that's stronger than most of the fucking guys.
Definitely, yeah.
So, you know, kind of doesn't feel like an intergender match with her.
Yeah. Because, you know, when they had, you know, her go over in that match and, you know, the finish was her F5-ing you, it was like, holy shit, number one, never mind to win. She just F5'd fucking Schlack. You know?
Right.
That's no easy feat.
Yeah, it wasn't even my idea for that match, man. It was, she kept pushing for it.
Mm-hmm.
She kept pushing for it, and Matt finally was like, okay, well, fucking, let's do it. And I think Matt, at the end of every year, he has those, polls where, you know, match of the year, blah, 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 blah. And I think, remember winning match of the year.
Yeah. That's great shit. One of your Marcus Crane matches, you had a coke spot in the match. How did that all come about? And, you know, what was your thoughts on it? Because obviously, you know, it'll get some heat for that's not wrestling and all that shit. But, you know, how did that all come about?
I mean, you know Marcus and how Marcus rolls.
Yeah.
You know, just going for the fucking, you know, craziest fucking thing possible. And me and Marcus, you know, kind of feel like Batman and the Joker. You know what I mean? I don't want to be Batman, but I guess I'm Batman there and he's the Joker. how it's a beautiful destruction every time we fucking get in the ring together. And, you know, it's just topping it. You know, we was like throwing darts in him in that fucking match.
Yes, wild shit.
Yeah. Right, right. The best was there's three lines on the fucking mirror. And Louis comes out with the tray. And Marcus does the one. And then I do the other one. And the last one was for Louis. And he spilled the fucking line. And if you look at his fucking face on the video, it's priceless, dude. There's another good story that someone posted a picture in one of those forums. I don't know what it was, Deathmatch Cold or something. And there's a picture of that spot. And someone pointed out, some guy was making comments on it. He's like, yeah, I was in the background there, blah, blah, blah. Well, apparently it was an off-duty police officer. And everyone was like, you're watching him doing coke. And he's like, oh, I was off-duty. I would never do anything like that. So I just find it ironic that the whole time me and Marcus are doing that shit in the fucking middle of the crowd, there's a fucking off-duty, like, state trooper staring at us.
Yeah.
He was, like, so enamored, apparently, that we would even have the ball sack to do that in fucking general public that he wasn't even thinking about arresting or any shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. I mean, that along with so much other stuff in GCW, especially, I mean, back when they were Game Changer World, and they brought some of that over to the compound, I think the one by CZW school or whatever. But they've really taken on somewhat of like a lawless atmosphere. Do you ever have any kind of concern about that? Because, like, you know, when you're part of the show and it just takes one of the wrong motherfuckers to walk in the door and shut the whole shit down, like, you know, because it's wild to see, even, you know, from an outsider perspective, like, you know, these cats are off the hook.
I'm not a worrying person, really, per se, but
I'm not saying Schlack's in the back going, guys, what are we doing here? But, you know, there's like a little bit of a thought like this shit could get shut down any minute.
That's Brett. You should see him. He needs to eat like 10 Xanax before a goddamn fucking wrestling show. He's a gigantic ball of stress. I think he's the one absorbing everyone's, you know, cares, and it's filtering out on him. But, but you know, as far as that, I think everyone is trying to, you know, mind their P's and Q's, but I just think everyone gets in the moment and it's so fucking crazy, you know, especially the way the fans are and shit, man. It feels like early CZW and shit and late ECW. It's so rabid that I think people start to not give a fuck. Like, did you see that little gif that someone posted on my page and I reposted it where I'm drinking the beer and I just threw it up in the air and hit the dude.
Smashed the dude in the head. Yeah.
right. Like, the crowd's like chant my name. I'm drinking the beer. And I'm like, oh, there's fire. It's near, you know, I'm not thinking about that when it's going on. You know, I didn't expect the bottle to fly out of the ring like that, but, you know.
Yeah, it's just wild. I've seen a lot, you know. I was going to CZW from 2001 on, so I've seen quite a bit. But, I mean, even like Game Changer World, those light tube matches were just filling that fucking building. It was like a white fucking cloud, like thick shit. It was like, this is crazy as hell. Like, I never saw like indoor, like deathmatch tournament level shit, you know, a little low ceiling.
Right, where you could actually visibly see the white dust floating in the air.
Yeah. That's pretty intense.
That can't possibly be good.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, ask me about that in 5 more years.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see what the long-term effects are firsthand.
Right. I'm a dice roller, Jay. What do you want me to tell you, brother?
I hear you. What goes into you cutting a promo? Because, I mean, you have hands down the best promos on the fucking indies. And not only do you come up with great ideas and have great promo ability, but, I mean, you put some kind of editing into the – what goes into the editing and how you put those things together?
All right. Let's see. Step one. Who am I working and what's the name of the show? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I try and pick something that has to do, you know, something, a defining thing, you know, if I'm working Murdoch or whatever, and he's from the South, okay, hillbilly shit, you know, just per se.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or, you know, the one was called 400 degrees, okay, now fire. So now
right.
I try and key on that bullshit, you know what I mean? Fire
yeah.
and hillbillies, whatever. You know, and then I just start in my phone, man. I used to have a list on pieces of paper, but I do it in the phone now. And I'll just write things that wordplay that kind of somewhat, you know, intertwine with that shit. And as long as it makes sense in my head, you know, really. I'll just
sure.
write that shit down, man. And then, you know, I'll film the promo. I'll come up with some kind of promo. I'll usually film the promo in the basement of a tattoo shop I work at. So I'm like screaming at the fucking top of my lungs at like 2 a.m. The upstairs must be like, what the fuck?
yeah.
Filming that shit, you know, and I'll take it home, man, and start looking for found footage on the internet that relate to the same topic, like buildings on fire, you know. Then I just start weaving and cutting it together while I'm sitting at home drinking myself to sleep. You know, it's a process. It ain't like just picking up my fucking phone and recording the promo and put it down. Like, I actually put a couple days work into each one of these things. That's why it's, you know, every promotion sees that I do these things. And I'm like, hey, can I please get a fucking promo for my thing? I'm like, yo, man, dude, that's a lot of fucking work, man. You know, so I try
right.
and keep those, like, good YouTube ones for bigger profile matches and shit. And then I'll do, like, some, you know, half-assed one for on Instagram for a low-key match.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of shit that goes into them things.
No, there definitely is. So a couple of them I wanted to go over. The promo for the Deep South, the Carnage Cup. You were walking out of the ER, so obviously you just fucking got stapled up or whatever the case is. You're walking out of the ER with a fucking gown open, looking like a fucking maniac. Like, how does that whole thing go down? Like, do you ask questions inside? Like, hey, do you mind if I do this shit? Like, how does that even happen?
Nah, that's just a do, man, and worry, you know, worry about the consequences after. That was after, I don't remember which show it was, but I had to go and get a bunch of fucking staples and stitches. And while I was in there, you know, who is in the hospital? Boogie Rag Joe. He's like, yo, you're in
okay.
here. You should shoot a promo for Deep South because Joe was going to Deep South. So I'm like,
yeah.
all right, good idea. So we just started shooting that shit in the hospital. I'm like screaming, hollering in the fucking hospital. And they happen to have that chart, the pain chart on the wall.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the lady at the fucking front counter when I actually had to like double take that walk out from the front because it was filmed weird. So I went out the first time and I had to go back in and they're looking at me at the counter like, yeah, what the fuck are you doing? But
yeah, that's crazy as hell. To have to like walk ashamed back in there like, just let
right,
me do it
right.
again.
Because then you got to explain yourself on the second run.
yeah.
And it's a, yeah. And I already didn't want to explain myself on why I was going to the hospital in the first place.
yeah.
But, yeah, those fucking promos, they take a lot, man. You know, there's a lot of work with them. You wouldn't think, looking at me or talking to me that I'm, you know, that I know how to even operate a computer, but I'm actually pretty computer savvy.
Yeah, it seems so. Hell or High Noon promo, you're legitimately on a fucking horse by the end of the promo. I mean, what are you like? Who has a horse? All right, who can I get out? Like, how do you do that one?
Yeah. I hit the Rolodex there, and I hit up everyone I know. And I just happened to work with this girl that worked the counter at one of the tattoo shops I used to a long time ago. Her family owns like a couple horses up north, like PA. So I drove about an hour to drive up there to get, you know, 10 seconds of footage on a horse and then an hour back.
Wow.
You ever been on a horse before, dude?
No, not really.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, that's some scary shit. That's some scary shit, man. I was sitting on that thing and you realize, like, yo, this thing can fucking kill you at any second. If it wants to toss you off, that thing has the power to do whatever it wants. If you look at me on that horse, dude, I'm like, you can see, you know, I'm a little racked. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, you got to go up there and yell and shit. So it's not
right,
even...
Right. I'm,
like, I'll just be calm.
I got
calm.
The hat. I'm like, woo-wee, giddy up.
Yeah. The UEW promo, you did the Dr. Dre promo, you know, with the Chronic album prop. Did you make the album prop for the Chronic logo?
No, nah, man. One of the bands I'm in, in the practice spot, my buddy Chubb that I play music with, he like pretty much runs the practice spot, and he's you know, Tattooed Moms in Philly, the bar. He's like the general manager, and they had, when the Chronic came out, was it 20 years ago, something like that, maybe even more. They had a promotion, and that was the promotional thing that they were sending to the businesses and bars and stores. They were sending that big Chronic album cover with the face cut out so you could put your face in it and take a picture on the Dr. Dre cover. Well, he just happened to keep it. I just threw it in the fucking practice spot, and it's been in there for 20 years, pretty much. And it's been sitting there collecting dust. And I was like, oh, this is the first match I got in California. So I'm like, two and two together. I'm like, what's California to me? Dr. Dre is California to me. I was like, oh, fuck, I got that fucking... you know, Chronic thing. So we shot the promo through the Chronic thing one night, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that's crazy as fuck, man. I mean, your mind is amazing the way it works and the creative shit you come up with promos. Because, I mean, you get so many, you know, the just standard issue promos. You can copy and paste them. It's all the same shit. I'm going to beat you. I want the title. You take it to another level, and you really invest time in it. And, you know, to get to find the horse and, like... to just even, like, do the math real quick. Like, all right, I'm going to Cali. I got to get this fucking Dre thing. That guy's got that. Go to the fucking horse Rolodex. You know, it's just, it's some intense shit, man. No one's putting in that effort out there right now.
Man, that's, you know, people don't see that shit. You know, even just something as simple as gym time. Look, Jay, you're in fucking good shape. How much time do you put into the gym and consciously eating food that you need to eat? You know, it's a second job, dude.
Sure.
Keeping your shit together. And people don't see that. People don't appreciate that. Like, look at that dude Mercer. You see Shane?
Yeah.
Shane's
an animal.
Tank. You know, Shane's a fucking tank. You know, that dude, you know, that dude puts tons of work in the fucking gym. People don't, you know, most people don't get credit for that, especially in a sea of dudes that really ain't working out too fucking much.
Right.
You know, but behind the scenes, man, you know, got to put in the work if you want to see the fucking results, right? Through the labor.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm more over than the next guy, but, you know, I hope people can see the fucking difference and how much effort I put into it.
Yeah. So what is the deciding factor on what makes the show big enough to put in the time for this promo? Is it just like what hits home with you or what you feel like, yeah, this is a big one for me, or, you know?
What decides it? I mean, you know, if it's the first time going somewhere, you know, want to work with, you know, like I didn't do any of those big promos for a while. The last one I did, I mean, to start them back up, was that one with Murdoch, because I was, you know, he's been on the hit list for a while, and I've been wanting to fucking match with him for a while. So I was like, let me, you know, stop being fucking lazy and kick it in the high gear. And then the Nick one, you know, so I'll keep them going again. But, you know, it's pretty much, I guess, what I, you know, my personal, you know, taste and, you know, what the match is going to be like, and
Sure.
You can pretty much feel if the match is going to be good or not ahead of time, really.
Yeah. I mean, just keep fucking whatever motivation you got to put those promos out, man. I've showed those to people who aren't even into wrestling and shit, and they fucking die fucking laughing at these things. Like, they're incredible.
I appreciate it, man.
So your matches with G-Raver, one of the early ones you had, there was that chair shot, and then it just seemed like it got real fucking rough after that. You guys seemed to really take that violence to another level, and it did come off in the match. Like, it was a little bit of heat because of this or that and receipt here and there, but I mean, obviously you guys don't despise each other, but what's your thoughts on the whole thing?
G-Raver in general?
Well, yeah, G-Raver and the matches you've had, and you know how it did take that turn where it was like, all right, you're gonna get hit a lot fucking harder than it was supposed to be. Like,
yeah, I mean, that dude, that's what I like, you know. I don't even, going into matches, man, I don't even, you know, I'm not going in there swinging for the fucking fence, you know. I go in there and I let them dictate what kind of match this is going to be, you know. If you're going to fucking come in there and fucking blast me right off the bat, you better fucking believe I'm going to check your ass as soon as we fucking start. And
right.
Braver is, he's one of them dudes. He, you know, he as you give it to him, he's going to give it to you right the fuck back. And that's
right.
Why I like working with him. We're due for another fucking match, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was definitely... I was salty at that one. He flung that fucking chair right in my fucking head, dude.
Yeah, it showed. He definitely reacted.
But he's great, man. He, you know... He's one of the dudes that don't back the fuck down and will keep going as hard as he possibly fucking can and don't ease up. You know, I hate it, especially if, say, you fucking, you know, you swing at me, you know, pretty hard, you do something stupid, and then I, you know, I check you on that shit and I give you a receipt, but then you back down a little bit. Fuck that, man. Why did you start in the first place? You know, I like, Raver's the type of dude that will keep that goddamn intensity up the entire time.
Right. Yeah, it's good shit, man. It's definitely great for the fans. I've always told people, like, as a fan, the best possible thing you could hear from the guy next to you is, dude, these guys really don't like each other before that music hits. And you're like, oh, shit, it's 100%. About to go down. You know?
100%. Yo, that's where them promos come in handy, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you build the match before the match is even created. You know, a lot of people don't do that. And that's
right.
Foolish. People get interested and they buy into the shit before it even happens. You know, lost
yeah.
Heart, my man.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, whether you know work or not, obviously, you know, it's a promo, you know, for a wrestling show. But in the same token, it really puts these guys on a fucking, you know, puts a standard there. Like, all right, he just said some shit in that promo that I can't just come out and throw a headlock at this guy. Like, I got to go out there angry.
Right.
That's the tone. Yeah, it's good shit. What's your thoughts on working with Nate Hatred and, you know, his time in GCW?
Nate was awesome, man. Solid dude. Really nice guy, too.
Yeah.
You know, I was more than honored and humbled that dude wanted to fucking work with me, you know, and, have matches with me. I don't know why he wanted to, but, you know. He was great, man. Total vet. A shame that Nate took off early, you know.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, that's one of my favorite matches. I mean, it was a total fucking car wreck, and that's what I like about it. It's real gnarly feeling. You know, I don't know what more I could say about the guy. You know, the guy was awesome.
Yeah. So you had a Zandig angle, you know, going in, GCW, and then obviously, you know, with his injuries and all of that stuff, he's kind of disappeared. Was that a disappointment for you knowing that, I mean, it was pretty much completely set up for you to square off with Zandig and, you know, him being what he was with CZW and everything?
Yeah, of course, man. That's like, you know, I never thought in a million years that I would even get that opportunity to even attempt it. And it's like, just like Nate, like you said, I don't know what those these guys see in me, but all the older dudes seem to want to wrestle me.
Yeah. It's got to be something,
Zandig,
right?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but whatever. Zandig, you know, wanted to work the fucking match. I didn't really hear about that until he had ideas for it way later. So he was talking shit online, and I'm like talking to everyone like, yo, man, I'm like trying to mind my P's and Q's. I'm just ignoring it and no-selling all his shit talking, you know, because it's fucking Zandig. I don't want to say something stupid and then, you know, completely bury myself.
Right.
But we were supposed to have the fucking match. I finally returned fire at him. I threw the, I don't know if you saw that little clip of that video where I printed out his picture and I just, you know, I'm like, here's my rebuttal. And I threw his picture in the urinal and I just pissed on his picture.
Yeah.
You ever see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was supposed to be, me and him in a exploding no rope barbed wire match at that tournament survival instead of me and Marcus.
Right.
But, his injuries, his back, they're all fucked up. So I got put in the tournament instead.
Yeah.
Which sucks. You know, hope he gets better.
Sure.
But
sure. Yeah, that was, it was a big tease. I know, you know, the roof bumped it a lot for GCW, but I still look back on that as like a mistake because, I mean, Zandig was trying to return and have a good run. And that shit was like a fucking brick wall he hit coming off that wall.
Yeah. Fucking something about his back, broke his back three places or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't blame the dude for, you know, not doing anything now, you know. Which I don't blame him. How much are you going to give to the business, for Christ's sake? The guy gave everything you could possibly give. It's, you know.
Sure.
The guy's a piece of fucking deathmatch history.
Absolutely. The Kid Osborne feud that you had in H2O, I believe. What was your thoughts on that? And, I mean, did he go too far with the online shit? Even in this, I put up, you know, if anyone wanted to write questions and shit, and he had, what did he say on this?
Something smart ass to say.
Yeah, he said, what's it like to be over just because he takes steroids and has tattoos on his face? So he's kept this continuous trend going along with the, you know, the angle that you guys had going. What was your thoughts on the whole thing? And, you know, did he go overboard with the online shit?
I feel like Kit is built and, you know, he feels like one of my ex-girlfriends, you know what I mean? Like yapping and talking shit constantly in your ear. You know, he's built like one of my ex-girlfriends too. you know, he wants a fucking, you know, he wants a death match or something. You know, I mean, eventually I'm going to have to shut his fucking mouth up. You know, I had that one fucking match with him, Matty Gavis, and I threw everything at the kid. You know, he cheated and won the fucking thing. Whatever, it is what it is. But I'm sure it'll come up eventually. You know, but I just don't have time for CZW's finest at the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, speaking of CZW, you know, last I talked to you, this was, I mean, right around the time that, you know, you were going into Tournament of Death. You had some, you know, offers from other places, but you weren't really willing to work, you know, the deathmatch tournaments until you did Tournament of Death out of loyalty. Do you look back on that as a mistake with the direction CZW took you, or, you know, are you fine with starting off, you know, hitting every angle you could when you did?
I mean, I'm not going to, you know, no sense in living in regrets, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, see, I trained there, you know, met a lot of awesome people there. There's some fucking great dudes on the fucking roster right now currently, you know. I mean, CZW gave me a platform, you know what I mean, and they helped me make noise, and that helped GCW find me. You know, GCW
right.
would have known about me if it wasn't for me making noise in CZW, so I don't regret shit, you know. And,
right.
you know, you could say a lot about me, but, you know, I am a fucking loyal dude, and when I my word is gold, and when I say something, I'm gonna fucking do it. And you know, I made a promise to DJ. He put me in tournament. You know, I worked that match with Masada. I thought it was a fucking good match. You know, that helped my career out good. You know, well. You know, so no real regrets. You know, as far as working for CZW again. I mean, I was going to go, and I was supposed to do some shit, Cage of Death. You know, I gave him a couple dates, and he, you know, he fucking stalled me out a couple times. You know, and I don't got time for that shit, dude. I don't got time for run around, you know. Unless you're going to give me a fucking solid program to run and something that means something interesting, I don't want to just hear, okay, maybe we'll do this, maybe we'll do that. You know, you're wasting my time. I mean, fucking GCW is giving me everything I need, everything that I asked for. You know?
Right.
So, that's going to come at me with something fucking useful, you know. Fucking, and if I want something, I can just ask Maddie and do it through H2O. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Not to mention a bunch of other promotions I work for.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem that most people are finding with CZW.
Yeah. So, I mean, a while back when, you know, we were all, you know, seeing what you were doing out there, you know, between the promos and just, I mean, the larger than life personality and coming out in the ring, and it's completely believable, you know, physique. I mean, you stand out from a crowd of people. You know, if you get a lot of average looking dudes, whether they're crazy or not, they don't really jump off the page the way you do. So the fans are seeing this. They catch on to what you're doing. They're all clamoring for you. You know, you're in fucking CZW, but you're not being spotlighted. So myself, Shaheen, multiple people were asking DJ legitimately on podcasts, like, hey, why is Schlack not being fucking used? Why is this and that? And his answer was that Schlack's green and this and this, which I've continuously been angry about. But what was your thoughts when that type of thing was being said and you were being used on other shows and spotlighted? And I mean, you know, the fan reaction spoke for itself, regardless of DJ's opinion on the color green.
You know, pot calling the kettle black there, you know. You know, as far as that shit, man, you know, he can say whatever the fuck he wants, man. You know, proof is in the pudding, dude. You know, I'm going other places and I'm fucking killing it there. You know, if you don't want to use me out of maybe your personal issue or whatever the fuck it is that, you know, your own security in your brain, whatever the fuck, you know, it may be. If there's a reason behind it, that's on you, man. You're the one that's going to lose out on that shit. Not me, man.
Yeah.
You know? I'll just go take that shit elsewhere, you know. And I think that didn't just happen with me, man. That happened with a lot of people, and now it's finally reflecting in this company. You know?
Oh yeah. Do you know of any reason or anything behind that? Like what his problem was? Because again, like if he's just like, you know, really locked down on the students, not really giving him a chance in a while. But like he gave Frankie Picard the fucking Wired title. This guy still looks like he's at a barbecue all the time.
Frankie's a nice guy.
He can be a nice guy, but, you know.
I know, I get it. No, I mean, I have no personal problem with DJ. I never have. You know, maybe it's the dudes in the back chirping in his fucking ear. Don't ask me. I mean, he's got a bunch of fucking people running the company that aren't even really in the business. You know, I don't know what it is. I'm on good terms with DJ. Never had a bad word to say about him. Never had a bad word to say about me, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you. I don't know why. You know, I don't know why I didn't get a push when I was there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think I improved in the fucking ring by now. You know, and like I said, I just gave him a couple dates beforehand, and he didn't. You know, he dropped the ball on that. But that's typical shit. You know, that's everyone's problem there. So you know, don't really know the answer. If I had it, I'd give it to you, brother.
Yeah. When the whole GCW-CCW split started happening, there started being, you know, a lot of noise about people being made to pick a side and this and that. What was your thoughts on that? Being, you know, kind of in both sides, you clearly weren't being used very well in CCW, but were you being told anything or made to pull one way or another?
From DJ, yeah, and the guys over there, but not Brett. Mm-hmm. Brett and Danny are actually like, yo, go work for as many places as you possibly can.
Right.
So that was fairly one-sided, you know.
What was your reaction to that?
I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, I can understand from a company's standpoint, you want all your own guys. right? You want all your own guys. Just like early CZW. Most of the guys in the company were all, you know, CZW guys. But you know what? White Feeder would pop up in IWA every once in a while. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it came down really to DJ's lack of future planning and not giving dates out ahead of time. And people like, okay, I'm waiting. Am I on the show? Am I on the show? Am I on the show? And him stalling everyone out. And then they're like, okay, fuck this. I'm going to go take dates somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants CZW to do good. Everyone wants to be in CZW. But if you're not telling anyone they're going to be fucking used, and then you stall them out, and then they take a date somewhere else, then you complain because now they're fucking booked and you can't use them. Well, whose fucking fault is that now? You know, that's
right.
Your own fault. And now, if you're not going to pay me a fucking salary or something, you know, to pay my bills, I mean, me in particular, I don't need it. You know, I make money doing a couple other things, you know, tattooing and shit and play music. But, you know, if there's other guys that they strictly, all they do is wrestle, and, you know, you're going to tell them that they can't fucking go to work and make money somewhere else, you know, you're not paying their bills. So it's kind of shitty to tell someone they can't work somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. I understand the concept of wanting exclusive talent because it, you know, makes your company better, but unless you're paying them to compensate for the other bookings they're losing, then it doesn't make any sense.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, it's crazy the direction they've gone. A lot of times they'd have you on the card and wouldn't even really announce your name being there, you know, or you're in fine print down the bottom of the poster. And, you know, whether you see what, you know, people are seeing in you or not, you know, as far as the older guys wanting to work, you're clearly one of the most over deathmatch guys on the indies. I mean, at the very least on the East Coast. I mean, if you could at least believe that part, I mean, it's pretty obvious, I'd think. I don't think they're just super into your entrance song.
You know, it's a pretty solid entrance song.
Yeah, but I mean, play that shit in a diner without you being there. It's not going to get the same reaction.
Yeah, listen, man. I don't know, man. You know, I don't have the answer. You know, and you know his loss. What the fuck do you want me to tell you? CZW's loss.
Yeah,
like no problem with CZW. Would go back if you gave me something of fucking interest, but you got nothing to give me now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got nothing to give me. I mean, dude, I was there for I don't know, like a year at some point. You know, just running through their programs. And I didn't get one death match or anything, like, except for Tournament of Death the entire time I was there. Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there was a board with barbed wire on it in there. Everyone's all, we're throwing something through a door. But an actual fucking match with shit. And the entire time, GCW is giving me, you know, everything, anything I want. Give me a fucking razor board, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And they weren't capitalizing on it. And they could see that I was getting over, you know, in GCW with the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. You're, you know, I think at that time the company was going in a different direction or trying to or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to go back now. Maybe they dropped the, you know, hopefully DJ realized he dropped the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they just wanted a smaller house for a while. It was getting a little crowded. That's the direction there.
It was too noisy. They couldn't concentrate.
Yeah, a lot of headaches. They said, you know what,
let's just
send these guys home.
We're making too much money here.
Yeah, this is crazy. IWA Mid-South, King of the Deathmatch, filing cabinet incident. Take me through that, because that's some crazy shit. I was getting text messages like, dude, this is bad. This is really bad. Ian's worried. Schlack is bleeding really bad. I'm like, oh, shit.
Man, yeah, that was pretty gnarly. It was me, Gage, Murdoch in a three-way, and I choke-bombed Murdoch on top of the filing cabinet. Filing cabinet was on its side, like the drawers were pointing outwards. And we took the drawers out. Well, when I sat out on the choke bomb, all my weight bent the cabinet in, and Murdoch's weight bent the cabinet in, and the dividing bar that separate in the center, because it was three drawers, So in the center there's a dividing bar. And it went right through the fucking sheet metal and went right through the back of my leg between my two hamstring muscles. Just about 1 inch by 1 inch flat blunt pole went about 4 inches in the back of my leg.
Fuck.
So, I mean, you know, adrenaline's going. Didn't really feel it, honestly. I stood up and I felt it slowly pull out of the hole. And all of a sudden it felt like I pissed myself. And felt like hot coffee was thrown on me. And I'm like, oh, that's not good, dude. And then I see it, like, that black, like, viscous blood pouring all over the fucking canvas. And I was like, oh. So I went another, like, 3 minutes, finished the match, rolled out, went in the back, sat down, and it was just pouring out like a open faucet, dude, pouring on the fucking ground. I was like, yo, I need an ambulance. And then they call one, and I'm laying on the floor. There's, like, three EMTs with belts around my, like, top of my side trying to wrench off my artery. And the ambulance came like 20 minutes late. Just happened to go to the hospital too. And that night there was like it was in St. Louis. Got to the hospital and there was like 20 people shot with gunshots. Like it was a mass shooting.
Oh,
and,
shit.
The fucking nurse was like, are you one of the gunshot victims? I'm like, no. So essentially it looks like a bullet went through the back of my fucking leg.
And, yeah.
I don't know if you know how your hamstring is shaped. It's like a Y. You know what I mean? And it joins in at the bottom when it reaches the knee. So the pole went right in between the two muscles. If the pole was to the left or to the right, it would like fucked up my hamstring, and I probably would never walk the same ever again or even walk properly. And if it was a little couple more, like another inch or two to the inside, it would have fucked up the artery on the inside of my thigh. Was it your femoral artery? And I would have bled to death because you can't stop that if you cut that. So it was actually the luckiest shitty luck I've ever had, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it was bleeding for like a month and 3 weeks. I couldn't stand for like a while. I was couch ridden, dude.
Yeah. How did they just stitch that up, or like how do they even close that?
Yeah, they do. I got x-rays and all kinds of shit, and they just pretty much, you know, cauterized it and just waited for the, you know, and stitched it up and stapled it up, and it's like messy as fuck. Remember, I'm at the tattoo shop, I don't know, about 5 months ago, and there was a doctor in there, and somehow that came up. The doctor was getting tattooed by someone I know. And I was like, yeah, look at this thing, and I showed him the scar, and they were like, you fucking paid for that? You know, so whatever nurse was taking care of me and stitching me up, or whatever doctor, like, did a real bang-up job.
That one. Maybe they saw the other scars and were like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Good old Kentucky fucking, medical staff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fucking crazy. Who would think, like, a filing cabinet would be the thing that just about impales your leg?
I know. How about that? Like, of all the dumb, crazy fucking shit I've done in my life, the way I die is death by filing cabinet. Pretty solid, though, I guess.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. So I guess you kept the guns don't kill people line to yourself when you were in there with those mass shooting victims, right?
Yeah.
You always keep this one under the vest.
They wouldn't let anyone in. The whole fucking hospital was quarantined off because they didn't want, I guess, the shooter to come in and finish the job on them people or something. I don't know. It's crazy.
Damn. It was crazy. VOW, Lords of Anarchy, Josh Crane, first round. What's your thoughts on that? You know, he's one of my favorite guys. I got to know.
He was being a little soft there, I guess you could say. He didn't want to take anything. He was complaining. He was saying he was hurt. His ribs were hurt. You know, it's a fucking terrible match.
Yeah, I was rooting for that 500 pieces that you were promising in the promo.
He was not about it. He was not about it.
That promo was like, we're going to have to tone it down from what you had planned.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he didn't want to go in, man. The guy didn't want to go in. You know, I can't. If you don't want to do anything or don't want to wrestle, I don't know what the fuck you're in there for with me in the fucking first place, but I guess that's not his choice anyway. You know, I'll gladly do it again if you actually want to fucking wrestle this time. But, you know.
Yeah.
He was complaining a lot.
Since you've become, you know, a thing in wrestling, there's been just a continuous racist accusations. It just keeps, like, resurfacing. What's your thoughts on this whole thing? There's people saying your band is blatantly racist and this and that. And it's just, like, constant people on Twitter, and they pop up out of nowhere, and they're just, like, defiant on this. Like, it's, like, a major thing to them. But, I mean, what's your thoughts on it? Because
I mean, it's today's modern fucking pampered, you know, coward millennial fucking kids that have nothing. They don't understand what reality is. You know, their reality is sitting home on a computer all day, and they've never been in the real world. And they don't know anything about consequence or even anyone else's position. And they think that they're very empathetic to everyone's, like, situation. Meanwhile, they are the least. They are the least, you know, relating to anybody else. You know, you don't know anyone's situation. None of these people have ever talked to me ever. None of these people have ever reached out. They're forming an opinion on third person stories, you know, of someone's opinion. You know, so it's all bullshit. You got to go, you know, you got to, how about you find out for your fucking self? And as for my band's being racist, you know, that's a new one. I've heard everything you could possibly hear. I heard, like, he has racist tattoos. I'm like, really? Because when I look at myself in the mirror, I don't see one goddamn thing. If you look at any band I've ever been in my life, there's not one racist. It's people just make bullshit up, dude. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I saw that last week, I think.
What was that?
The band racist thing.
Yeah, the band racist thing. And you know what's funny? These people are like, it'll be like someone from Canada or someone from England. That has no, none of these people know anything about what the fuck is going on. It's just some Twitter asshole, you know, that has nothing better to do or function in their fucking life. So they just harp and they trash on people, they troll. They don't have any pictures of themselves on their fucking pages. You know, they try and get a reaction out of people. So they say the dumbest and most ignorant fucking thing.
Yeah.
Whatever, no sweat off my balls. If you know me, you know how I am. You know, I'm not saying I'm not a dickhead, and I'm not saying I don't have a warped sense of humor. I 100% fucking own to that. But there's never been a wrestler there, you know, to speak out against me. No one has ever had a problem with me. You won't find any people. You won't find one person that will say anything or correlate with any of your fucking bullshit stories. You know, and if I was such a fucking evil, rotten piece of shit, no promotions would book me, and everyone seems to constantly book me over and over and over, and I go all over the place.
Right.
You know, why would I be asked to go back to Mexico 4 times if I was such a fucking asshole? Why am I going to Canada all the time? Why am I going to Japan now?
Right. Yeah. It's crazy that it just keeps, you know, circling back, and like you said, just Twitter assholes.
And, you know, it's new people every time. People eventually get the, you know, they see through the bullshit, and then it'll be some other random dickhead that had nothing to do with anything to just start on it. I don't know, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
My call to bear. You know, just because I know someone, or you know someone, or someone else knows someone, or, you know, you don't know my story, you don't know who I've been in contact with. You know, I've worked in a tattoo shop since I was a fucking kid, so I've met some assholes. I've visited fucking, you know, I've done time. So I've met some fucking assholes. You're forced to come in contact with these people in everyday life. I'm not going to, you know, if you have a problem with them, that's on you. I don't give a fuck. You know, I'm not asking these people to come to my fucking house and eat dinner with my sister. You know, but I'm cordial with whatever. You know, if it's about money, I'm cordial. You know, just because you know someone doesn't mean you share their viewpoint. You know,
sure.
I know plenty of people that are, you know, you like Satan. Okay, that doesn't mean just because you like Satan doesn't make me a fucking devil worshiper.
Right.
I know you. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Yeah, guilty by association type shit.
Yeah, yeah. I guess like that's my cross right there, boy.
Yeah. So as far as I don't know if I asked you this the first time around. Your drunk tattoo. How did that happen?
I mean, that's, you know, what's ironic. That's probably the only tattoo I've ever gotten where I wasn't drinking. That was my boss. Like, man, he didn't even put a stencil on that or anything. I was like 22, maybe.
Uh-huh.
You know, we were. He just got a stomach tattoo. He's like, "What do you want to get one?" I'm like, "I don't know." And you know, at the time, I was some drinking and partying and fucking playing music and being a shitty punk rocker and, you know, and, hey, how about drunk? And, you know, I used to have a moniker, Useless Drunk. That's mm-hmm. where that came from, like my old production company where I used to book shows and bands and stuff. And, you know, he just went in right, you know, with no fucking stencil, didn't even draw it on with a marker and just tattooed that fucking thing on my stomach. It's why it's so sloppy looking.
Yeah.
Wish there was a better story.
Yeah, it's crazy
story,
looking.
You know.
You're a great artist. Like, a lot of the shit I've seen you done is amazing. And so that always jumps out as, like, I mean, I thought, like, maybe you were drunk and you tattooed it yourself upside down on the fucking, you know.
No, that's, like, the one tattoo I got while I was sober, ironically. it's funny, because I have some, so if you really get up on my shit, I have some really, really good tattooer from some of the better tattooers on earth. You know what I mean? Because I've been mm-hmm. in the business so long.
Sure.
You know, and so, but I'm also an old fucking, you know, metalhead, man, an old punk rocker. So I like shitty things too. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like torn between quality and quantity. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
So, you know, I have this like masterpiece by like Guy Atchison or Paul Acker or Paul Booth on me. And it's right next to some hand-poked pile of shit. You know, it's all about dichotomy, I guess, right? You know, variety despite the life.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about the GCW show that just happened. They said it couldn't be done. First things first, let's talk about the venue. I watched it on iPay-per-view. One of the craziest-looking venues I've ever seen. With that circus ceiling and shit. And what's your thought going into that?
First thing I thought as soon as I went in there, because the showboat, you know, where the show was at, that was the old, I think that was the old poker room, I think.
Okay.
Where they had it in. And so there's like a Louisiana circusy scene to the whole casino, if you've ever been in there before.
Yeah.
So that's what that whole vaulted ceiling was. And first thing, as soon as I went in there, I was like, ah, circus tent for the clowns. And, you know, I thought it was great. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, it's going to look fucking tits in here with the, I didn't get to see it on like my pay-per-view yet, how it looked, mm-hmm. you know, on camera, but I'm sure Smart Mark is the best in the fucking biz. I'm sure they made it look fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But it was great, man. You know, that hotel was more than compensating, dude. It was rad to, you know, weird to see the casino with no gambling in it. It's basically just a hotel now. You know,
yeah,
I'm from Atlantic
yeah, I heard
City.
That.
I'm from Atlantic City, so it's like bizarre to, you know, I've been in that casino as a kid, you know, pretty much whole life, and to see it like dead was weird. But it's cool.
What did they do with the casino, you know, space?
I mean, pretty much nothing. It's like storage area, and they just kept one of the towers. I think like Rutgers bought one of the towers, and they're going to turn it into. Like dorm rooms for the school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And the other one, you know, the other casino, the other tower has like bars and shit in it. So the bars are still operational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they still have hotel rooms. So now it's basically a Holiday Inn with bars in it. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Well, yeah, it's weird. But it's great because, you know, we had the show on the poker room floor. And you walk out and there's the front desk. And you go to the right, and you take the elevators up to the hotel rooms. So, you know, you're walking through, you know, making my way covered in blood to go get a fucking shower to go in. I'm in a, you know, an elevator with Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know, they just walked off the boardwalk, And they're looking at me like, what the fuck?
Somebody should have filmed that shit.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting, you know. But it's great. I'm sure, you know, the hotel was more than happy, you know, that they got people in there, really. And not only did they get people in there, they got people in their bars. Their bars made money, you know, and people got hotel rooms. So, you know, I'm pretty confident that there'll be more GCW shows there in the future.
That's awesome to hear, because like I said, on the video, it looked just amazing. Just, you know, very unique. Definitely not your average fucking venue. You can see the carpeting
like
under the people's feet.
Yeah, like, I can't name another visual, you know, on film with a wrestling event like as odd as that in forever. I mean, I'm trying to think of anything that you could really compare to it, and it's just very unique. You're totally right. It's cool, man. It might be the new home of GCW. You never know.
God, I mean, that'd be incredible. I mean, you know, most of the times, I mean, wrestling companies try to find any building that'll host them and then get fans in it. It's not really about the aesthetic of the actual building, and that just came with it. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's great, too, because, you know, there's bars in there, so people can get a drink if you drink, you know. There's
sure.
More than enough room in there, and they don't give a fuck what is happening in there. You know what I mean? They apparently, the owner of the building at the current moment in time was like, wow, this is awesome. This is fucking real entertainment. You know,
wow.
He was very souped on it. He watched it.
Wow. That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, so that's a positive.
Yeah. What was the overall vibe of Kasai being there? And was this your first time seeing Kasai live, being on the show?
No, I seen him in CZW.
Okay.
I actually have an old picture with him. I mean, he's great, dude. It's Kasai, dude. He's like not even, you know, like looking at a real person.
Right.
He's just one of them dudes. He's one of them dudes. Like he's so fucking insane. Did you see the clip of when he's reading off the piece of paper saying that ECW want to go to Japan?
Mm-hmm.
I'm laughing how, you know, insane he looks with the fucking one contact all crazy and yeah. I got a picture with me and him, you know, smiling. Like he went to buy a couple shirts off of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like fucking flattered that he even wanted, you know, one of them. And he's looking at me, and I'm smiling, and he's like, same. And he's like pointing to the teeth, so we got a picture.
Awesome.
What
was your thoughts on your match?
I liked it. You know, like you said, the match kind of got neutered a little bit because, you know, Kasai gets what Kasai wants, and he wanted the light tube prison and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just sort of fuel for a fucking bigger and crazy fucking rematch, because if you don't think I'm going to be gunning for that, you know, out of your fucking mind.
Right.
You know, it got nice and fucking train wrecky, and that's what I like. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't, you know, can't really complain. How would you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was great. And, I mean, to follow the G-Raver and Tremont death match, it was like, dude, to stand out after they just did what they did was a feat in itself. You know, it's sandwiched between that and Kasai, and I still think your match is one that people are going to remember.
That's great. You know, let's try to make it a little different, you know, and there comes up, there again, you were saying with the promos and building the fucking hype. That shit goes a long way, man.
Yeah.
It goes a long way. And Mickey tried to shank me in the beginning. I had the fucking phone book, you know, body armor on.
Yeah.
Ghetto shit, dude.
Yeah. So, obviously, the show ends with the announcement. Well, they had it at the intermission and then, you know, did the big thing at the end with you're going to Japan. Your thoughts on that? No, just overall thoughts on going to Japan.
Well, man, I mean, that's the fucking goal from the get-go, right? I mean, my goal was never to go to WWE or anything of that nature. My goal was to go to Japan. When I watch wrestling, I watch old Japanese stuff. know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every once in a while, I'll throw in some early CZW or whatever, but my go-to is old Japanese stuff, no matter what style, whether it be like Tiger Mask 2 or fucking, you know, Pegasus Kid or Vader, you know, Hansen, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Hayabusa, you know, whatever. My go-to is watching Japanese stuff. And my goal was to get to fucking Japan and, you know, fucking maul my way through the crowd like Bruiser Brody swinging the fucking chain around. So this is, you know, this is the pinnacle, man. I've known about it for a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was extremely, extremely difficult to hold that in and not say to anybody. I was like one of the only people to fucking know because Brett, you know, I stay up all night. And Brett just happens to stay up all night, too. And I was up awake at the time, and he's like, yo, I got to tell you something. So I was like one of the only people that knew because he couldn't hold it in himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard to hold that the fuck in. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm humbled and more honored, you know. I'm going to go over there and get as crazy as I possibly fucking can. You know, I want to be on that list of you know, the American dudes that went over there and fucking killed it. You know what I mean? Like Wifebeater and Zandig and fucking Masada, you know, and Cactus Jack and fucking Funk. You know, I want to be on that fucking list.
Yeah.
So this is the pinnacle here. You know what I mean? I mean, what's there to do after that, really?
Right. So I mean,
aside from going back and running.
Yeah.
Aside from going back and running a bunch of programs, you know, this is the first step in the door.
Sure. So that poses a question because, you know, you said on, you know, the last interview and everything that you're not doing this for forever. You know, you're not a, you know, a 19-year-old kid breaking into the business. So what exactly, I know that there's no way to say exactly, but what do you think your window is in this business as far as deathmatch wrestling, especially at the rate you're going and the fucking size holes you're poking in your fucking body on a regular basis?
Well, from the day one, you know, I mapped this shit the fuck out. You know, I look at careers, and I saw Wifebeater had a 5-year career, and Nick Mondo had a 5-year career. And when anyone thinks crazy deathmatch shit, those couple dudes are on the top of that list. So my goal from the get-go was, all right, listen, I'm coming in this a little old. You know, if I can get 5 years in there like those guys, you know, that was the initial, like, you know, and if I can get more than that, fucking awesome. But the goal is to get 5 solid fucking years out of it, because if that's all those guys need to become legends, that's all I fucking need. Plain and simple. And, you know, I got, last year I did 75 matches, the year before that I did 75, and the year before that I did like 60 or something like that. So I got 3 years of solid matches in, you know, and the year before that was, you know, just a couple. So I got 3 solid years in. So if I can get 2 more fucking solid years in there, you know, I complete my goal.
Yeah.
We'll see. You know, I'm going to fight fucking tooth and nail to get it done. Trust me.
What's your training regiment like, gym-wise and all of that stuff? I know, I think you got something in the basement there that you home train, right?
Yeah, I got a couple gym memberships, too. I got shit in the basement of the tattoo shop. You know, usually I wake up around 1 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Get up, eat. Maybe every couple days I'll get up and go to the gym and do something, maybe run or you know, or work out a body part or something. Then I'll go to work. And I'll usually get done work, you know, at like 10 o'clock at night, something like that. Then I'll come home, eat. I'll fucking take a nap, get up, go to the gym around 1 a.m. something like that, work out for like hour and a half, go home. And I usually do that about 5-6 days a week, depending on what my wrestling schedule is looking like. You know what I mean?
Shit. So you're doing like 2-a-days, like every fucking day?
Not every day. I would say I do like 2 doubles twice a week.
Mm.
Doubles twice a week. and maybe a third one in there just running on one of those days. Got to have the cardio, brother. You know that.
Yeah. On one of my interviews, I think it was Mondo, somebody had told me, you know, it's really hard when you're doing death matches and stuff to get in the gym because, you know, every time you start, like, working up a body, you know, everything busts open. All your fresh cuts are opening up and shit, and you look like a maniac in the gym because the fucking blood's coming through your shirt.
Yeah,
do you have any issues with that?
I mean, dude, I just fucking fight through it. If I got cuts all over my, like, if my knee is banged up right now, I don't know, Nick fucking landed on it all crazy or something when he jumped, it's like a gusset board or something, and my knee's banged up. So obviously, I'm not going to do legs. I'll do, but my palms, dude, look like they were put, you know, in a fucking meat grinder. So I don't know how I'm going to hang the bar, or hold the bar, you know, or to test it when I get there tonight. But yeah, that is definitely an issue. You know, you're sore and fucking pain, you know, tons of pain, and it's just like black and blues too, man. It's like you said, it's cuts, and cuts are debilitating. You can't do certain things when you have a laceration on the, you know, inside of your fucking lat there, you know, connecting to your armpit. You can't lift your arm over your head, so that takes away doing shoulders or military press or something like that. So you got to do a different body part, and, you know, but that it just being smart about it, man. That's all. But it is definitely a problem. I've noticed that.
Yeah. And then what about the actual gyms? Do you get, like, thrown out of gyms because you're bleeding all over the equipment and shit, or?
Nah, you know, when I go in there usually ain't many people in there to begin with. You know, that's why I go late at night. That's why I don't have to deal with fucking people. But, you know, one of the gyms I belong to is, like, a powerlifting gym. They have, you know, everything's, like, rusted, and they have, like, those big boat chains and tires, you know. Those guys, they're all just monsters in there that are in there to work. You know, and I belong to this other, like, regular, like, city gym. It's called City Fitness. And that one's a little more, you know, people-friendly. But I'm there late at night, and I know all the dudes that work at the counter. So, you know, they're all like, oh, slack. And they found out I'm a fucking wrestler. And, you know, when are you doing this? And blah, 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 blah. Looking at my fucking Instagram and shit. You know, so they're pretty cool. And then I got, like, a Planet Fitness thing in case all that shit is closed. So I'll go, that's like 24 hours. Occasionally I'll go into Planet Fitness and, you know, I just fucking put my hoodie on and duck my head and go in the corner and stay away from people as far as possible. But I try and keep that to a minimum.
I can't imagine that Planet Fitness is schlack friendly. Like, you know, you see the commercials and they put a flag on minor shit and you're a pretty turned up fucking dude.
Yeah. I make a lot of noise when I'm listening to. So the long alarm goes off every once in a while. We'll say that much.
Yeah. So when are you going to put out some, like, C.T. Fletcher level fucking training videos?
I've been thinking about it, actually. Like, if I had the fucking time, man. You know, I'm so jammed up with my fucking schedule. But I was thinking about doing, like, a TED Talk thing or something like that. It's actually in the works, so you'll get it soon. When I finally sit down and fucking get it together, you know, like kind of like a slack life coach fucking training video.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what you'll think it is.
Awesome. So yeah, man, that's about all I got. Any other dream matches on the horizon? Obviously, you got Japan in front of you. What do you got in the you know, bucket list where you got to, like, I got to knock this shit off before these 2 years are up and I put that, you know, that cap on at least what you were going for?
Right. Who do I want a real fucking match with Tremont? I'll tell you that much. We've done stuff with, you know, here and there, but I want a fucking serious fucking crazy death match with Matty. I want to work Dickinson. I was actually supposed to have a match with Dickinson before Nick, but I fucked my ankle up. I fucked my ankle up in Chicago, so I couldn't work Murdoch, who's also on that fucking list. But I couldn't work Murdoch because I twisted my fucking ankle and I couldn't. It's not that I was in pain. I just couldn't physically stand, and I can't wrestle if I can't fucking stand. So, and then I was supposed to work Dickinson, but I couldn't do the fucking match because I didn't want to get fucked up before I wrestled fucking Nick.
Right.
So Dickinson's on that fucking list. I'd like to work Sabu if he's still moving.
Mm-hmm.
New Jack, I think, is one of those guys. Who else is going? Who do you think I should work a match with?
I don't know, man. I always like the big, you know, the big collisions, you know, between the bigger guys. Like, when you see Shane Mercer start to tear it up, I definitely like to see something go on there. Yeah, Dickinson's definitely one of those guys. Tough to say. I mean, if they can get you in there with, like, a Darby Allin, I mean, that dude, I mean, he kills himself out there, so it would be, like, a crazy clash.
I got my eye on him, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm up for it, man. You cut one of those fucking promos, and I'm fucking all in. I don't care who you're wrestling.
Oh, I'll make a list. Maybe I'll be one of those people that makes a list and posts it on the computer. Is that corny?
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of those names show up on that list. They're going to go, oh, fuck. Here we go.
I'm lobbying for
you. He's going to make me look like shit in the promo, and then I got to deal with this fucking guy in the ring.
The ultimate goal is to get wife beater out of retirement. That's the ultimate goal. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I think he's done.
Yeah, it'd be a tough one.
I know Brett and Danny were trying, but he's just not biting.
Yeah.
But that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, man, thanks for coming back on. It's been a long time. Hopefully we'll do another one sooner than later. And, yeah, man, is any plugs, anything else you want to put out there?
Let's see, what do I got? I got Blood Brothers in California this Saturday, and then on Sunday for Dysfunction's promotion, ICW in Milwaukee. I got that versus Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Then the week after that is GCW in L.A. Then the week after that is TCW in Philly at Voltage Lounge and H2O, Maddie's Hardcore Kingdom tournament in Jersey. And I don't really think which past 3 weeks in my life, so I gotta look at my appointment book.
Yeah, man.
But that's about it, dude. www.nogodonlyslack.com. Slack187 on all social media.
Yeah, awesome, man. So, yeah, again, thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it, and hope to talk to you soon, bro.
You too, man. Later, Jay. Thanks.
Peace. So there you go. There was the one and only Schlack, and he never disappoints. I had a great time talking to him. Almost went about an hour and a half there. It was about what I was looking at. Almost like right on the money for what I was thinking. Check out, I got you 5 stars with Jeremy doing his thing over there. And, of course, the Hot Tag Podcast with Shaheen and Boxman. And the Deathmatch Russell Podcast. You can't forget about Deathmatch Russell. I mean, you forget about the guy, it's going to be problems, you know? You know? You know? It's just, you know, it's just a must. You got to. So, check it all out. And shit, man, I'll check you motherfuckers next week. I think I've done too many fucking shows. I got to go on like an 8-month hiatus if I keep this fucking shit up, you know? Just to match my hiatus up with my actual show content. Now, I'm going to try to keep this going. Like I said, next week, I'm going to try to do a show with some topics. Everybody, man, load me up with fucking topics. It motivates me to do fucking shows. Shaheen's been hitting me up with a lot of fucking stuff. So I hope to do one show next week doing that. Throw down like an hour or so talking some shit. And then I'm going to try to have Deshaun Pratt on next week and talk to him about a bunch of stuff too, because he's another one of those guys I've been watching for years. And never really got a chance to talk to him. I talked to Ophidian years ago. Actually, one of my least favorite interviews of all time. All time being like the 8 years I've been doing this. Because he was in gimmick the entire promo. The entire interview. So I wasn't talking to a guy from Philly. I was talking to a fucking snake from Egypt. And there's some fans that would have enjoyed the fuck out of that. I am not one of those fans. I don't take any offense in him doing it because he was sold on his character and representing that and playing completely kayfabe. I just had no idea that was what I was going to be dealing with. So, and I was still early in doing the show. So, you know, it wasn't some shit I knew how to manage or deal with or anything like that. But it was kind of just, you know, a funny thing along the way that I dealt with and was like, oh, okay, well, I guess some guys are just going to live the fucking gimmick on the show like I'm 12. And but he's a tremendous performer and obviously lots to talk about with formerly Amasis. And, you know, find out what went on there. I mean, this guy's going through a whole transformation of he's dropped the Amasis and he's going to pretty much start over, which fascinates me because to establish, you know, oneself that much in their career and then move in another complete direction is a pretty risky, brave move. So obviously he believes in what he's got out there and just want to talk to him about it and see how it goes. So anyway, like I said, think of some fucking topics. We'll do the fucking thing. I think that's all I got for tonight. I mean, man, I talked to you motherfuckers two nights in a row. You know, if you like hearing me talk, this has been a good week. If you don't, this is fucking terrible. So, that's it. Talk to you motherfuckers next week. Where's my fucking outro? It's been a long time since I had to look for this shit. All right, peace.
Talk to y'all later. Have a nice night. Stay dry. It's raining again. Tired as rain. Makes my grass green. I won't complain about that. That's all I gotta say. I'm outta here.
I love all of y'all and, shit.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
You been in the gym, bro.
You know why?
DJ Hyde, fuck you.
You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me.
I'll listen to your podcast and I'll find everything out. You know what I mean?
You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy. So, what I make you?
Good. Black Cheese tells me all the time to listen to what you gotta say because you be blazing people. And I'm like, well, I gotta hear it now.
You just know how to hide. I lie. Me, I don't have that part. Me, I always tell the truth. Even when I lie.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Jesus!
So say goodnight to the bad guy.
I'm gonna tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no fools.